Good morning, everyone. I don't have a clue what we're going to do. I have notes. But when the Holy Ghost got a hold of our minister, Joe, I'm like, I don't have a problem calling him back up here. But I want to talk from my heart for a little. Just a little bit. We'll see where it goes from there. I want you to go to Ephesians 3:20. So that's a very powerful scripture. But it also gives us a clue as to why we may not be experiencing the power of the scripture. Well, just looking at it in the Passion Translation, says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. I like the translation that says, according to the working of his mighty power. I like the translation that says that he'll do it based on the power that's at work in you. Has anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, just want you to think about it. You've wondered why you see some believers getting blessed abundantly and you are not. You know, you don't say amen. You keep it private. But I get calls. I get emails. I get letters. And folks want to know, why does it seem like only the pastors are blessed? Could it be that you're taking all the tithes and offerings? I'm serious. What do people think? We want to get you to come to church just to empty your pocketbooks. I drive a Ford Edge or a Taurus, not a Mercedes. No, I don't want a Mercedes. I want to be able to get from one place to another. And if I could just think it and go, that would be my mode of travel. I don't need, nor do I desire, a $5 million home. The tithes and offerings we receive are for the expenses to keep the ministry going, for the other ministries that we support, and so that the funds are there so that when someone does need benevolence, the benevolence is available. But we need to think about. That's why I asked Minister Joe to say the last part of that scripture, according to the power that's at work in us, in you. Why do you think God put that in? See, if he was just going to say it and everyone was going to do it, there'd be no reason to put in a reminder, according to the power that's at work in you. My mom, when she was battling cancer, and I said, well, Mom, what are you believing? She said, well, I believe that God will do exceedingly abundantly above what I ask or think. I said, okay. I said, but Mommy, it also says according to the power that's at work in you. Boy, don't preach to me. I've been knowing the Bible for, like, I'm just trying to keep you alive. But we have to think about what is the power that's at work in us. What is motivating us to either believe God's word or believe something else? Because that will determine whether God can do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. You may have big thoughts and think they're impossible. You may have big dreams and think, oh, there's no way that's going to happen for me. And we start bringing into play our past, our childhood. I love psychiatrists. But the issues that I have, not because my mother did something to me. It's because I'm making a choice to use that as an excuse. So what power is at work in you? How many just people are in here? Well, I don't see any hands. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. So whatever it is that you want exceedingly abundantly above, if you're not in faith, forget it. If you're not in faith, forget it. According to the power that's at work in you, the Bible tells us when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody. Then it says something that when I read it, it was scary. It said, if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your sins. So if anyone did something to me, and I said, I'll never forgive them, then everything I do wrong will be held against me by God. What power is at work in you? The Bible says, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. But he got very specific. He didn't leave it right there because he knew people love all sorts of weird ways. He said, the same way I love you, you love one another. So all you need to do is find out, how did Jesus love you? What did he do? He died. He gave his life. What's the power at work in you? You won't forgive. You won't love. You won't walk in faith. The Bible says you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He didn't say you have need of the promise being fulfilled, because that's a done deal if you're in faith. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, a believer shouldn't mean a believer position is that, I should say, a Christian position is God will do it. A believer's position is God has done it. Our position needs to be God has done it. And that's the way we pray, based on the truth that God has done it. But I don't see it yet. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is the power that's at work in you? We have to take time and investigate that, because that's going to determine whether you're one of the haves or the have-nots. That might be a good television program. What is the power that's at work in you? You know how you can usually find out? What's the first thought that comes into your head or the first word that come out of your mouth? You can choose, I can pick this up and choose how I'm going to look at it. I can look at it upside down and not be able to read and say, this isn't for me. It's written in some other foreign language. No, I can keep investigating. I got a revelation that I'm still researching. I don't research it every day. But when it comes up, I do. I may have shared it with you on occasion. You remember the account of the Tower of Babel? What did the people want to say? What did the people say they wanted to do? Build the tower. They wanted to build the tower so they'd be acknowledged and recognized. And God knew something about human beings. He didn't ask Michael to come down and just destroy the tower. He did something that the devil is still using effectively today. God caused confusion. The people said, well, God's not the author of confusion. He changed their languages so that they couldn't understand each other. What came as a result of that? Confusion. And they stopped building the tower. I submit to you, they never wanted to build it really in the first place. Because when you have it in your mind to do something, you figure it out. If they wanted to, there is a whole community in society that's underserved, but they get things done anyway. Those people with hearing impairment. Helen Keller not only was hearing impaired, she was sight impaired. She couldn't see, hear, or speak. How do you write a book? How do you give instruction? How do you share wisdom? You can't read, write, or speak. Find a way, because it's in your heart to do it. And that's the power that's at work in you. You really want this. The problem is that we're too casual about our Christian lifestyle. And we have that casualness, new word, operating in us. And we think, well, it's not my time. I haven't found that anywhere. That it's not your time. I've seen whatever, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. That's one of our foundation scriptures, Mark 11, 23, 24. But we leave out 25. Or we think we can get out because it says when you stand praying, so we sit down and pray thinking it doesn't apply to us. No, when you pray, forgive. One of the reasons we don't forgive, or one of the reasons we take the positions that we take, is because of what I intended to talk to you about today. We're too busy thinking we're right. And everybody else is wrong. That's one of the things that... Let me tell you something about me. You want to get my dander up? I don't have hair, but I can still have dander. Accuse me of something I didn't do. I'm not that saved yet. Because if I didn't do it, and I'm right, I don't care what you think, how I may make you feel, I'm right. Period. So because I'm right, I'm not the one that needs to change. You need to change. Or the circumstance, something needs to change other than me because I'm right. And you can't convince me that I'm not right. If you think I'm wrong, I'll listen. If I don't see it, I'm like, nope, nope, nope. And it's been detrimental because I will dig my heels in. I will dig them in, and I won't move off of it, and I don't care what it costs. Because I'm right. I'm right. But one time, Jesus came to a crowd. Let me give you the scripture. In John 16. No, not 16. Where is it? John 8. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning at dawn. This is the Amplified Classic. He came back into the temple court, and the people came to him in crowds. He sat down and was teaching them. When the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. You know what that means, right? I still haven't figured out how you do that. You know, you had to know where they are. You had to know where they go to adulterers. And the question is, what were you doing there? They were caught in the act. They made her stand in the middle of the court and put the case before him. And they said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such women, offenders, should be stoned to death. But what do you say with her? They were right to a degree. The law of Moses said stone to death. But it said in the law of Moses that the adulterer and the adulteress were stoned, should be put to death. So where was the guy? He probably was right there. He probably picked up the first stone and said, oh, I can't throw this. But they thought they were right because the law said. Jesus could have taken the position, well, the law does say that. They can always go find the man, but yes, he's got to die. But he did something. He stooped down and wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. I wasn't there. But he was listening because he said he only does those things his father tells him. So he's listening. Dad, how do you want me to handle this? And father said to him, ask whoever among them is without sin, let them throw the first stone at her. And so that's what he did. But stoning her to death would have been right. But it wouldn't have been what God wanted. I may be right in a particular stance. Is my behavior what God wanted? And I'll tell you why that's important. I'm going to write this down. Being right will never cause you to be disobedient to God's will and his word. So if you're doing something that violates God's word, ain't no way you're right. If you're doing, well, okay, we'll go there. Because this is the power that's at work in you, that needs to be at work in you. Look at Galatians 5. I'm in the Passion Translation. Because God said that since we have the Holy Spirit in us, there should be evidence that the Holy Spirit is in us, and that evidence he refers to as fruit. Now, when we think of the fruit of the Spirit, So several years ago, I taught a lesson called fruit salad. See, because when you get a salad, all the ingredients are already mixed together. And you ask for a salad. You don't say, I want some lettuce, some romaine, some spinach, some cucumbers cut up in there, maybe some green peppers. Of course, I got to have tomatoes, you know, maybe a little celery. Yeah, some nuts in it might be nice. No, you say, I want a salad. And the salad comes, and everything that makes that a salad is in there. Well, everyone said there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. No, there's 1 fruit. Not 9. There's 1. And all 9 components are part of the 1. So if the fruit of the Spirit is in operation, all 9 components should be there. So if I am truly right in every possible definition of the word right, then I would be in line with Galatians 5, 22-23. This is the Passion Translation. It says, but the fruit, singular, produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its various expressions. That means any way you can say I love you is there. Any way you can demonstrate I love you is there. Any way you can show, prove, project love is there. Joy that overflows. You can be right and correct someone, and they can be happy about it if it's done the right way. But if you take the position, I'm right, you're wrong, so you just got to deal with it. They're righter than you are. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Endures what? Anything. For how long? Patience doesn't care. And if you do, you're wrong. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities. Never let your quest to be right rise above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. That means we're to never run out of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, virtue, faith, gentleness, or strength. Never. Never. But because that has to be the power that's at work in us if we're going to see exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. When Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead, and Mary said, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Not realizing she could have spoken the same words Jesus spoke. She could have had the same faith Jesus had, and the brother would have come back to life. But Jesus said, your brother will live again. She didn't hear what he was saying. Because she said, I know. Just like a lot of Christians, you try and tell them, I know. I know what the scripture says. You know what's written, but you don't know what it says. Because if you knew what it says, your attitude would be different. Your attitude would be different. The way you handle things would be different if you knew what it said. And she said, I know. In the resurrection, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Anyone who believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Believe this. Yes, I believe. So then they get to the tomb, roll away the stone. Said, no, no, no. Don't do that. There's a stench. He's been in there 4 days. Jesus, you're going to be raising everybody from the dead if you roll back that stone. And he looked at her and he said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you that? And he said it with gentleness of heart. He didn't throttle her and say, what's the matter with you? Do I need to lay hands on your ear so you can hear what I say and then say it again? He said, God, why did you put me around these knucklehead people? No, he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. But I know you always hear me. But I said it for the benefit of all these people here so they'll know that you sent me. And then he simply said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up and walked out, wobbled out. Jesus said, okay, you bound him, loose him now, let him go. That happened because of the power that was at work in him. What power was that? His Father's will. And that same will is in us if we've received Christ. We should be operating the same way he operates, thinking the same thing he thinks. The Bible tells us this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears, then we know we have it. How can he hear it if we're not saying it? What he's hearing is us saying some other things, and he has to let it happen because he put the principle in place. And principles work either to your benefit or to your detriment. How do you know which one it's going to be? Depends on what comes out of your mouth. The believer doesn't need constant confirmation. Not, I hope God will do exceedingly abundantly above what I ask or think. He will do. What proof do you have? He said so. That's all that matters. And he shows up. He just makes sure his presence is seen. I told you, my kids, when we lived in Rockaway, they went to the park with me, and some of the kids were throwing rocks. And I went and said, look, guys, if you want to throw rocks, bash each other's brains out, go right ahead. We'll go over in the baseball field. These kids playing on the equipment, they're not in a rock fight. One kid got smart with me. I said, don't say that. I'll go get my daddy. Go right ahead. See that green car right over there? Yeah. I'll be sitting on it waiting for you and your daddy. Go get him. And I just went, said, and the guy's foot, come on. I said, no, I have to do this. And I told him, he lives about 3-4 houses away from the park, Bayswater Park. And I saw him come out, and he's talking, and his father's posturing, and you know, just walking down the street. I waited till he got maybe as far back as the sound booth. And I just slid off the car and just stood up and looked at him. He stopped and looked at me, and I looked at him. I had a look that I called the dead man look. where I just looked at him. He smacked this kid in the head, said something to him, and he went back inside. Kid came back and said, "Mister, we're going to go on the playground and throw rocks." I said, "Okay, go right ahead." Why? He saw my presence. Didn't know anything about me except what he saw. And what he saw said, "Let it go." Why am I telling you that? Not to puff me up. God's the same way. There's a movie called The Bear. It's about this orphan bear cub and a male grizzly kind of adopted. And then toward the end of the movie, this cub was attacked by a cougar. And the cougar was swiping him, licking his lips, said, "Okay, I have breakfast, lunch, and dinner here." And all the bear had to do was stand up and act like a bear. And that's what he did. He stood up, raised his paw, and let out the loudest roar he could let out. Didn't sound like a roar because he was maybe a year old. But the cougar looked at him and took off. Then the screen panned backwards, and that big grizzly bear was up behind him. That's what the cougar saw. All the young one had to do was act like a bear. Act like a Christian. And our Father shows up, and the enemy sees him, not you. The enemy sees him. You ought to watch that movie. It's called The Bear. I watched it. I thought it was like a monster movie. The bear would be eating people and stuff. But I saw that spiritual principle. All I have to do is stand and act like a Christian. Now, the bear couldn't pray, but he could growl, because that's what bears do as a warning. They make themselves as big as they can, and they let out a sound. And that cougar heard that sound. I guess it startled him at first, with that sound coming out of something that little, until he kind of looked up and said, "He's got backup." Guess what, folks? You've got backup. But you have to act like you're a Christian by doing what Christians do. We have divine love in all of its expressions. We have joy that overflows. Situations need to happen, and you need to just start laughing at it. Just start laughing. I did that too. Kid came up to me and punched me in the jaw. I looked at him and started laughing. I'm thinking, I'm so glad he finally hit me. Now I can beat him down and nobody... I wasn't saved. When I wasn't saved, I wasn't saved. But you have to have joy that overflows. I did. I'm not exaggerating. I just broke out and started laughing at him. And started going like this. And he started backing up. Don't lie. You meant to hit me. You're trying to impress your friends. Ask them to come and get this blank, 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 blank instead of you. But turn around and look and see where they're going. You just see, this is what you saw. I didn't beat him up. Didn't have to, he learned. But you'll have peace that subdues. If I operating in the fruit of the Spirit, peace would have come in that situation. I would have had patience. He just doesn't know who I am. Has no clue what I'm capable of. So I'll just let it go. I mean, he didn't hurt me. He knows he didn't hurt me. There's really no need to do anything else. Kindness in action. I let him live. A life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, strength of spirit. Just because something happened to me doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not strong. It just means something happened. My strength will determine how I deal with it. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it's hard, it takes strength to walk away and do what's really right. It takes strength. Sometimes you do it biting on your lips, making noises. But you have strength to walk away. Father, I can walk away from this. You just walk away. Let them think what they think. Jesus used himself as the example for love because that's the power that he wants at work in us. He used his example, and he died for people who ridiculed him, for people who lied on him, spit on him, tried to throw him off a cliff, called them outside of his name, took his clothes and gambled away his clothes, and did all this in front of his mother. And he used some of his last breath to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When they came to arrest him, Peter cut the guy's ear off. Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on the man. If I'm one of the soldiers assigned to take him and I see that, ain't no way I'm putting my hands on him. But I'm thinking about what he said. Don't you know that now, right now, I could pray to the Father and he will send more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled? See, if we want to truly be right, we need to understand something. There's a difference between having the power and having the authority. They're not the same thing. Power is strength of might. Authority controls the power. We were not given authority over the devil. We were given authority over the power of the devil. We need to understand that. You were not given authority over other people. You were given authority over the darkness. Yes, in some cases, Jesus said that we were given power and authority, and that's fine. But most of the time, we're operating under the authority that was given us. So you have a commander-in-chief that has authority over the entire branch of military. Entire branch. Doesn't matter how powerful the military is, they can't do a thing until they get their instructions. No instructions, no movement. The army does not have the authority to do what they think should be done. Why? They don't have the whole picture. And they were not given that authority. Yes, they're powerful, but they don't have the authority to act. Yes, we're powerful, but I don't have the authority to take a stand where I'm right at the expense of the word. I wasn't given that authority. So what's the power that's at work? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 5:19, Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself of his own accord. He doesn't do anything based on his own assessment of the situation. But he is able, or you could say he has authority, to do only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does is what the Son does, in the same way in his turn. In the same way the Son does it, the Father does it, the Son does it. In the same way the Son does it, we do it. And so we do it in the same way that the Father does it. So when we are given instructions by the Son and we don't obey them, we're not disobeying Jesus, we're disobeying God. When that sign says 65 miles an hour and you're doing 70, you're not disobeying a stop sign. You're disobeying New York State, Pennsylvania, whatever municipality you're in, you're disobeying that final municipality, because they're the ones that set the standards. The Department of Highways put the signs up, and the police are authorized to enforce it. The police aren't authorized to change it. They're authorized to enforce what the government said should be the speed limit. And no one gets mad when they get a ticket. They don't get mad at the government. They get mad at the police. You guys, it's the end of the month. You guys are just trying to meet a quota. Someone said that to me once. Well, more than once. My answer is always the same. So you knew that? Yes, everybody knows that. Then why were you speeding at the end of the month? Get your speeding out of the way before the middle of the month. Or, since you're a believer, and we're supposed to obey those that have the rule over us, so why speed at all? You know, Selah. But we need to understand, folks, God will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's to the degree of his power that's at work in you. He can only work with what you give him. That's why it says in Luke, give, and it shall be given again unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men pour into your bosom. If you don't give, ain't nothing coming back. Only going to be poured into your bosom is nothing, because you haven't put anything in it. Because he said, with the same measure what you meet with all will be measured to you again. That's not just with giving. You want God to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think, but you're not giving him any of his power to work with. He's not going to be so, give a little more power. No, if this is what you give him, this is all he has to work with. Even though you have a stadium full to work with, you've chosen to only use this. I'm not an advocate. Do I want to say that? I am not an advocate of going and pulling out scripture specifically for finance or for healing or for restoration. I'm not. I don't do that. Personally, I don't do that. Why? because I'm operating based on my own understanding. I go to my Father. What do you want me to say? Or what do you want me to do about what they just said to me? What do you want? Reverend, you have blood clots in both of your lungs. Father, what do you want me to do about what they just said? I didn't immediately go, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm healed. Himself bore my, took my sicknesses, bore my infirmities. God, you're the God that forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. It's the word. But is that what he told me to say? No. What he told me to say was, in this world, you will have tribulations. But be not dismayed, I have overcome the world. I have taken away its power to harm you. That's what he told me to say. That's what I said. That's all I said. When the prayer team from Worship Center would come, because I was in Lancaster, and they had all these scriptures that, no disrespect, I've talked to God. This is what he told me to say. The nurses showed me, you know the story, they showed me the CAT scan. And they said, for some reason, when your blood clots got here, they went to the left and right and lodged in areas of your lungs that were less critical. Normally, they keep going into the aortic cavity and cause all sorts of problems. I said, that was Jesus taking away their power to harm me. That was the power that was at work in me. Because I asked, in fact, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? He told me, I did it, they're gone. It was the same thing with prostate cancer. What do you want me to do? If you tell me to go to the Hudson River and eat three raw crabs, that's what I'll do. I may glow in the dark, but hey. I did what he told me to do. That was in 2005. What year is it? I think God knows what he's doing. According to the power that's at work in you. God makes the power available. You determine whether or not you're going to take it in. You determine. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Stop backing away from your confessions because of anything, really, or anyone. If you can back, if you can be made to back away from your confession, you never believed it in the first place. I know that sounds kind of hard, and I don't mean to be hard. But I just want you to know what you have available. What you have available is based on the love of God, and it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. So if nothing can separate us, then we should hold fast to our confession. Stop acting like we were when we were children. Someone would say something, say, you take that back. And then if they put up a big enough display, you'd say, I'm sorry, I take it back. I didn't take nothing back. Even if I was wrong, I wouldn't take it back. I just looked at it as a sign of weakness. That's just the way I was growing up. Jesus said he only does what pleases the Father. So it's all right to ask God, what's pleasing to you in this situation? And when he tells you, do it. That's the power that's at work in you. And you'll start seeing exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. That's what God wants. He needs the world to see his children successful. He needs that. One of my pastor friends told us that they were out of the country, and they noticed that all of the cults had these beautiful buildings, spacious grounds, top-of-the-line vehicles, whether they were personal or, you know, minivans and all that stuff. And he was upset about it. And he said, "Father, they're not serving you. They have all this stuff and we're struggling. They don't have any demons opposing them." And he said, "Oh, the devil's not going to oppose himself. And God's not going to oppose himself either. For those of you that think, then why can't we see it? Because those folks believe in what they're doing. To their own eternal death, they believe. We need to use that same principle and believe unequivocally. Just believe. And you'll start seeing differently. And then you'll start saying differently. Then you'll start having differently. But it's all dependent on what is the power that's at work in you." Ms. Joe, before I conclude, I want to ask if you had something you wanted to add. We'll take another hour. No. But thank you for yielding to the prompting of the Holy Ghost. The scripture says, some have a word, some have a song. He had a word and a song. And as you can see, we don't have any issues with flowing with the Spirit. Doesn't matter how much work we put into anything individually. If God wants something else, I should stop asking him, "Why didn't you tell me this beforehand?" If for whatever reason you want me to go through this exercise, all right, so I go through it. And I don't go through it thinking about, he's going to change this. I know he's going to change it. So why am I doing it? My job is to record what he tells me. His job is to do whatever he wants to do with the people. So, Father, we just thank you for what I'll call your impromptu word. But it's not really impromptu. It's always appropriate. It's always on time. Thank you, Father, for this congregation that knows how to yield to the Holy Ghost, both in their actions, in their speech. And we thank you, Father, that this is truly a place where the love of God is evident, the Word of God is taught, the Spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. We thank you that everyone will now understand how important it is to have the right power at work in them, because your desire is to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we can ask or think. Now that the power working in us is right, the abundance will flow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hope you got what you needed from that. If you didn't, next week get the CD and listen to it again. That was Gmail. Mail directly from heaven, brought on by our minister Joe, just yielding to the tugging of the Spirit within him. It just overflowed. We're not prideful. Nobody's jealous of anybody here. Everybody knows who they are and is secure in it. The main thing is that the people hear the word God wants them to hear for this morning. And I believe we've done that. We've done it. Is there anyone here who's never received Christ as Savior. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father without going through him. So there's no way that the right power can be at work in you if you have never received the Son. Is there anyone here? If you are here, I want you to raise your hand just so I can lead you in a confession. That's all I'm going to do, is lead you in a confession where you're receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Once you become Savior, you can make him, allow him to be Lord of your life. Amen. And well, blessings on each and every one of you. Thank you for letting us go the direction the Holy Ghost wanted us to go. I guess I'll just call it, what's at work in you, the power at work in you. Don't know if that's going to be a series. Don't know what it's going to be, but we'll talk about it again. Because this congregation is going to see exceeding abundantly above whatever you ask or think, because you have the right power working in you.